Grace, mercy, and peace be with you here this day from our triune God. It was Zsa Zsa's wide stance, her teeth exposing underbite, and her tongue that hung down almost to the ground that captured the hearts of the judges and helped her to beat out 13 other pups to win last year's World's Ugliest Dog contest. Zsa Zsa, you see, is a 9-year-old English bulldog who was rescued by her owner, Megan Brainerd, who plucked her out from a puppy mill. And in addition to this claim to fame, Megan and Zsa Zsa now also won a $1,500 first prize, a supersized trophy, and a trip to New York City for a media appearance on the Today Show. This contest, which, by the way, is held every year during the Sonoma Marin Fair in Petaluma, California, is now entering its 19th season. And it would seem that even dog lovers these days are going to great lengths to embrace and to celebrate ugliness. So think about how relieved perhaps some of us would feel if our culture today truly celebrated the less desirable things that are found in us. You know, things like maybe having well-distributed acne over our faces, or things like being dumb as a doornail, or things like having exquisitely deposited cellulite on your thighs, or a breath maybe that's so rancid that it would make a landfill smell sweet. And if the Sonoma Marin Fair organizers were also, I think, well-versed in the scriptures, well, then perhaps they might have even asked Jesus to be a part of their panel of judges. See, in our gospel reading for today, we find here now this abridged type version of Jesus' more well-known Sermon on the Mount. And here he has gathered his faithful followers as well as some needy folks, to talk about spiritual ugly dogs. Most of us, I'm sure, are familiar with those Beatitudes that are found in Matthew's Gospel, the 5th chapter. Blessings lauded upon those who live out their kingdom values, the meek, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers. So in the beauty pageant of God's kingdom, it makes perfect sense that these are the truly beautiful virtues for us to have. But when we look now at these blessings and woes that we find here in Luke's version, there's approval given to what many might think are somewhat unsightly type characteristics. Perhaps if this passage were a competition, well, then there would be two categories in which Jesus would judge the contestants. You would have the kingdom ugly dog section and the culturally ugly dog section. Jesus says the woes that we see here in this morning's gospel text are really those kingdom ugly dogs, those things which we Christians are supposed to shun or look away from. Jesus says, woe to those, for example, who have too much money, too much to eat, too much merriment in their life, too much respect being shown by their peers. It almost seems as if Jesus is simply being un-American here. Consider for a moment some of the cultural threads which engage each of these particular woes. For example, there is a dating site now called Elite Singles that allows you to connect and to interact with the most desirable, most attractive, and well-educated and wealthy people that you might be able to find online. Or what about this? Today, 65% of all Americans over the age of 20 are considered obese, according to the Center for Disease Control. Or what about this? Controversial psychologist Stephen Hayes has gotten into trouble in recent years for suggesting that happiness isn't normal, and that depression and anxiety-stricken people simply need to accept their pain. And do I need to go any further than to mention most of our junior high school experiences to prove the trauma that comes when we are bullied or being made fun of? Let's face it, we worship comfort. We aren't just satisfied with our needs being met. We want our desires to be met as well. We want to be rich and well-fed and happy and good-looking, not necessarily in that order. But these things that our culture seems to bless, Jesus here considers to be ugly. And those things which Jesus calls blessed in the second category that we are asked to embrace is those cultural ugly dogs. Consider those things that Jesus here sees as blessed: the poor, the hungry, those who weep. This makes absolutely no sense at all in our Western culture. Are these the things that we strive most to avoid? I mean, take a look at your New Year's resolutions that you made last month. How many of you included in those resolutions for 2019 and increase this year in your poverty or your hunger or your pain? Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on the account of the Son of Man. Ill repute, unpopularity, social leprosy, being considered one of those freaky Christians. This simply grinds away at our people-pleasing, performance-driven, popularity-seeking tendencies that we have. But these things that the culture considers to be ugly, well, Jesus blesses them. Yep, these are indeed, I think, hard verses for most of us to have to deal with. Jesus sees so much ugliness where the world sees beauty, and he sees beauty in those things which repulse and repel us. So I think the obvious question then for us to ask today is why? Why does he love, bless, and urge us to embrace those seemingly ugly things? Perhaps the answer to that question can be found in another one of Jesus' teachings. The one where Jesus said, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Now think for a moment. Can you imagine Jesus saying this to, say, a glamorous supermodel, or a powerful CEO, or a brilliant Wall Street stockbroker? They all share, you see, one thing in common. All that they have keeps them from sensing all that they need. Jesus' woes go out to those with no unmet needs or even any unmet desires. They already have plenty to meet these needs, and they depend upon those things that they've been able to acquire. But Jesus celebrates and blesses those who are in need. His kingdom is for those who are not self-sufficient. In this morning's gospel, we read that the crowd was made up of the utterly needy, the sick, the tormented, those desperate for the power of Christ's touch. They had flocked to him from all around the region. But as Christ begins his sermon, it says, he looked up at his disciples. In the presence of this entire throng of people who might be considered the ugliest dogs of the day, Jesus operates with surgical precision on the hearts of his disciples. He's clear that what the world would see in this crowd as being ugly is the exact opposite of what he sees in those same people. The implication, I think, for our churches today is imperative. It means that as followers of Christ, we must make a decisive, life-embracing way of capturing Christ's incarnational mission. And interestingly enough, this can be found, I think, embedded right there in that very first opening verse of our gospel reading. He came down with them and stood on a level place. He stood with them on a level place. And that's where we're supposed to stand as pastors and church leaders. And that is where church people are supposed to stand, on a level place with those who are in need. Is this not the incarnational response that Jesus is seeking from his true followers? To come down to the place of another, to practice being with them, to stand on a level place. And yet, while Jesus preached from a level place, he also preached of an unlevel place, an upside-down kingdom, a leveling ushered in by his followers. Needs that are being met by those with met needs. A countercultural force of love that embraces what's ugly and shuns what the world sees as beautiful. Henry Nouwen spoke of this concept as being Christian voluntary displacement. In other words, the gospel confronts us with this persistent voice inviting us to move from where it is comfortable, from where we want to stay, from where we feel most at home, to that existential recognition of our inner brokenness, and thus brings us to a deeper solidarity with the brokenness of our fellow human beings. Who else other than followers of Jesus should be extending their hands over the gulf that separates the haves from the have-nots? As Christians, we're to find our own needs met eternally, and then in response, meet the needs of others temporally. And note, I think, as well, that the word now actually appears 4 times here in this passage. So when Jesus teaches of the kingdom of heaven, it's not about some kind of far away place where we're going to go when we die. It's about the present reality that accompanies him and those who choose to follow after him. Rob Bell says it this way: true spirituality isn't about escaping this world to some other place where we'll be forever. A Christian is someone who anticipates spending forever here, in a new heaven that comes to earth. The goal isn't escaping this world, but making this world the kind of a place that God can come to. So what kind of a world are we making today? One that celebrates beauty, or one that embraces the ugly? The American Dream speaks about having 2.2 children, a stable, well-funded retirement account, a Starbucks on every corner, beautiful, wrinkle-free bodies, and living life happily ever after. But you see, the American dream is for many just a pipe dream. And in any case, it's certainly not the kingdom dream. Christians must dream different dreams than that. Christians must love uglier dogs than that. So let's get down and dirty here today. Let's stand in solidarity with the needy and look at the world from a level place. Amen.